And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Maxa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Maxa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock God Rick Maxa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here right next to the San Diego Landings, very busy San Diego Landings, in beautiful Point Loma here. And we have a couple of great guests here for you. Captain Brandon Hayward and his main deckhand Finn from Bite Sport Fishing are here. You stay tuned. This is going to be Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island, 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain! Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
The future comes standard at your San Diego County Ford dealers, so swing on by and check out the legendary Ford F-150, the smart and capable Ford Ranger, and the all-new Ford Bronco Sport. New inventory is arriving daily, and your San Diego County Ford dealer is here to help you build and order the truck or SUV of your dreams. Want to make sure you get the right truck to tow your boat? They'll help you order the right configuration to meet your needs. Want to make sure you get the right SUV to haul your gear on your next adventure? They've got you covered there, too. Escape, Edge, Bronco Sport, Explorer, and Expedition. They've got the SUV that's perfect for you. If it isn't on the lot, they'll order it and get you exactly what you need. They want your trade, so swing by your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer or visit buyfordnow.com to see all the great deals. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. What a great show today is going to be. Having a couple of fishy guys in the studio today.
Captain Brandon Hayward, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, great to have you. And who'd you bring? What's your name, young man?
Finn.
Finn.
What's up, Finn?
All right, Finn. And are you somehow related to Captain Brandon Hayward?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's your dad, huh?
Yeah.
And
you like fishing with your dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Is it? All right, that's cool. And what's your biggest fish you caught with your dad?
Probably the yellowtail, right?
Yeah, the yellowtail.
Yellowtail. How big was that yellowtail?
Only
5 pounds. Oh, just a little one, huh? Whoa.
It was 32. He's exaggerating.
Yeah, 32.
Like,
that's,
oh, man.
That's a pretty good one, though. Yeah, that's good. So
I know a lot of people who go fishing a lot of times that have never caught a 32-pound yellowtail. That is pretty cool.
That's
dude.
A good one for sure. Well, great. Well, great to have you. And, Brandon, what's been going on? It's you guys have been catching a lot of sea bass here, huh?
Yeah. April was a really good sea bass month. The grade of fish was incredible for fishing Catalina, whereas in the past when I first started, it was all on the coast.
It
shifted more to island fishing, and we see this same grade of fish out at the island, you know, 50-pounders and handful of 60-pounders out there. So, yeah, we had a beautiful April. Wes had limits on his last trip a couple days ago over there, and we just started running bluefin as well. Jake had limits of bluefin. Like 40 to 60 pounders in that like casting foamer style of fishing.
Oh, that's fun.
A couple days ago. So, yeah, so both of it's going and just another great season in California. We're kind of like immune to it now. Like, oh,
Here we go.
The bluefin. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Weather's been an issue, but...
You talk to people that have done it kind of, quote, forever, everyone was saying how windy it's been, especially up in the Channel Islands, those poor guys, you know, they've been really getting the worst of it. So definitely a windy spring, but it seems like we might have turned a micro corner
Looks
here.
Looks like it.
Yeah.
Feels like it.
Yeah, especially today. Look at today. I mean, it looks beautiful today.
No, so, perfect.
Yeah, we're ready to go fishing. So tell us about your fleet, your Navy, the Brennan Navy.
Oh, yeah. I think I have one boat too many now. If anyone wants to buy a 23 Parker, give me a call.
Oh.
So I started with a small Arima doing one-person charters, and then in 2013 I got a 23-foot Parker. And it's still a great boat. It's my favorite boat to run for fishing Catalina and the coast if we have that
Such
to fish for.
Boat.
It's perfect. One engine, especially now with fuel costs. Uh-huh. And your engine runtime is a whole other subject, you know. So when you can have one versus a two, it pencils out. So I still have a 23-foot Parker. I have two 28-foot Parkers. And I have that 34 Freeman that's at the landing here.
Yeah, at Fisherman's Landing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's getting bottom paint right now and a sea chest put in it.
Yeah. And you have a couple of great captains that work with you, right?
I do, yeah. Yeah, Wes has been with me the longest. I think this is his seventh season now. And so I have Wes, I have Jake. They're my two, like, full-time, kind of, like, salaried guys.
Awesome guys.
Yeah.
They do a great job. I've sang their praises on the show a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And then I have Dylan and a new guy this year, Vinny.
Oh, okay.
He's Jake's best buddy, and he's a Channel Islands guy, knows a lot about island fishing. So there's between the four boats, there's five of us, and we all just kind of rotate in.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So now as we go into shifting seasons, you still going to fish Catalina sea bass, Clemente, that kind of stuff, or are you just going to go straight bluefin?
No, we'll split it up and do both. We'll split, and having so many boats, you can kind of scatter yourself around. Like in years past, we've gone up to Channel Islands and ran out of Ventura. Kind of keep my eye on that. Definitely the best sea bass fishing isn't there right now. It's probably Catalina, and the sport boats are getting some at Clemente as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll do that with a boat or two, and then we'll do bluefin down here.
That's what I've always admired about your operation is, like, you take the operation to where the opportunity is best. And, like, you have, over the years, you have had no problem running out of San Diego, Oceanside, Dana, you know, like you say, all the way up to the Northern Channel Islands. Like, you put a boat wherever the best opportunity for the best fishing is.
Yeah, yeah. And it seems like the last couple of years you haven't had to shuffle as much because you can kind of track that bluefin and it's accessible out of here. But, yeah, that's hitting the ground and going where you got to go helps for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of fish around.
There's a lot of fish around. Yeah.
But you guys have done that for so long and have such success that when you tell your customer who might have booked thinking, like, all right, well, we're going to be running out of, you know, San Diego or South Orange County, you call them and be like, hey, man, here's the deal. There's really good fish and it's in Ventura. Like, you've had such success with it, they know, like, all right, killer, well, that's where we're going. Like,
right.
You know, you got the right guys.
Right, no, exactly. Especially with sea bass, you got to kind of move around.
Whew. Sea bass. It seems that Brandon Hayward and his team has cracked the code, the ultimate code, the sea bass code.
Yeah, I think it's just being comfortable fishing a lot of different areas and a lot of different styles, and that comes with some growing pains and some definite hits to the guts. But I've been like knocked around enough by now that I kind of go with the flow. So yeah, it's a tricky fish, but then there's times where, like in April, where the current's going the right way, or if you're fishing every day, you kind of have your finger on the pulse with that fish. And season to season, too, like it's at somewhere on the east end of the island and the current switches, you know that, like, you got to start working up the island and trying to find it. And, yeah, so that's sea bass.
Yeah. So do you think those big ones at Catalina right now are the same tankers that were on the coast? They just moved?
I do. I mean, I'm not going off any science, so this is just pure speculation. And I think those big fish come up the coast and they don't see the kelp like they used to see, and they don't run into any squid. And they just kind of bend it out and end up hitting the islands. And this year, like in April, we're catching those huge ones, and we had a couple days of kind of slower fishing, and we weren't marking them. Like, all right, worked up the island, caught fish, but not the same grade of fish. And then they started catching, they had 60-pounders at the Channel Islands. Like Sean on the Aloha had probably the biggest one he ever caught, and there's just some monster fish caught up there. And we don't think about sea bass as like jumping islands and making big moves, but they do. They travel a ton. They're a lot like a salmon. So I think that same fish that we're on at Catalina just made a jump, and it was at Santa Cruz, and now those big ones are kind of MIA, so who knows where they are.
Yeah. What about yellowtail fishing along with it this year?
Yellow has been slow for us. Yeah. I think we've only caught two or three at Catalina. Good grade. I actually took Finn on the Thunderbird and his brother Noah last week. Yeah. How many yellowtail did we catch?
Three, I think.
Yeah.
Nice. That's cool.
Did you catch one?
No.
No. Okay.
But Finn caught a jumbo sheephead.
A jumbo sheephead. And how about your brother? Did he catch one?
He caught one fish.
That's cool.
Oh, nice. All right.
Bonita, right?
Yeah.
All right.
How did you catch your sheephead?
On squid.
Okay. Squid. Nice.
But yeah, there's been a little bit of yellowtail at Clemente on the front side of the island, and then there's some bait ground scattered around the back that has a few fish. But overall, like our main influx of yellowtail in U.S. waters definitely hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. So that whole sea bass thing, is it all about the squid? I mean, are you catching them on mackerel? Are you catching or was it just all about the squid this year at Catalina?
Catalina is like a squid-based fishery. You can definitely catch them, especially when the water warms up on sardine and such, but you really have to have squid for there. Whereas local, you know, that big fish really likes to eat the mackerel.
Yeah.
Part of the problem with fishing fin bait at islands is you just get seals on you really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Really bad. So, yeah, it's mostly a squid.
Seals don't bother the squid much?
Not off the hooks. No, not too much. Not too much. And most of it's on kind of leadhead fishing for us.
Yeah.
Leadhead and a couple squid.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
What do you think about that study from the hatchery that said that now they're thinking that what's happening is the sea bass are shedding those tags and that upwards of close to 50% of the sea bass that we're catching today are hatchery fish? What do you think of that?
I think my stance on that, and again, this is without anything but like the basic science and reading the papers on it, with that, and I also thought if you're putting a lot of hatchery fish into the wild, those hatchery fish are going to spawn with wild fish and have offspring that don't have tags,
sure,
which is untrackable,
right?
Unless you were to do some like really heavy DNA, like heavy lifting. So yeah, I don't think anything bad comes from it, and I think there's a reason why there's been an uptick in our fishery, and that's definitely part of it.
Yeah, you put a million hatchery fish in the water, it's got to help, right?
Exactly.
Or over a million.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so. Well, as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for you today. Lots to talk about with Captain Brandon Hayward. We haven't even crossed the line very much on bluefin tuna yet and how he's going to approach that here as we head into his shift in seasons here, right?
Yeah, no doubt. It's going to be a great time and lots to cover. If you want to join us, man, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. That's how you reach us here on Let's Talk Hookup this morning. Or you can text the show. Text the show option, so popular nowadays on Let's Talk Hookup. Already a bunch of great texts rolling through. The only way to send a text is through the Let's Talk Hookup app. It's a free download. It's the easiest way to listen to Let's Talk Hookup, and it's the easiest way to participate on Let's Talk Hookup by texting the show. If you got questions for Brandon, if you got questions for Finn, you can send a text message, and we'll be reading them on the air. Going to be lots of great questions coming up. And make sure that you include some contact info when you send us that text. It's not like a normal text on your phone. You need to make sure that you include your phone number, because if you win the big prize, we've got to be able to get you back.
Yeah.
And speaking of big prize, we have such a cool one for our lucky listeners and texters and callers today. One lucky person at the end of today's show is going to win a brand new custom handmade Anza fillet knife, a beautiful knife from our great friends up at Anza, you know, a tool that's going to conceivably last you for the rest of your life.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
A really, really cool handmade fillet knife from the guys over at Anza. Again, if you want to get through, give us a call. It's 213-432-1090, or text us through the Let's Talk Hookup app. At the end of the show, we're going to take all the texts that made it on the air. We're going to take all the phone calls that made it on the air. We'll select a potential winner from those two columns. And at the end of the show, Finn is going to flip a coin, and that's going to designate whether the winner is going to come from the caller side or the texter side. And you might be the big winner at the end of the show today. Again, if you want to get through, 213-432-1090. When we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls. Lots of great info coming your way. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
When you want to catch big bluefin tuna, you need Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. The Shimano Beastmaster is the pinnacle of electric reels. Shimano's Gigamax motor packs a winding strength up to 250 pounds, ideal for kite fishing and more. Shimano's Butterfly Flat flatfall jigs are irresistible to bluefin tuna because they stay in the strike zone longer. Shimano makes a complete line of butterfly flatfall jigs to target your favorite game fish. For all your Shimano needs, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing offers half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day trips on the Liberty. Many trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Want to take your catch from fresh to superior grade? This is Robbie Gant from AFCO. We developed the tools for the EKDNA process. Circuit Breaker is specially designed to disable the full length of the fish's spinal cord. The memory-resistant wire of AFCO's Circuit Breaker will not bend or kink, even after repeated use. Take your fish care to the next level with Circuit Breaker by AFCO. Available at a dealer near you or check out AFCO.com.
Like Robbie said, take your fish care to the next level with Circuit Breaker by AFCO. Check AFCO.com or your favorite tackle retailer. Cutwater Spirits celebrates those who work smarter, not harder, and know that enjoying a bar-quality cocktail is as easy as cracking open a can. No mixing required. We cut out that step for you. Made in San Diego with our real award-winning spirits, Cutwater canned cocktails are ready to enjoy, ready when you are. All you gotta do is choose your cocktail, such as our fan favorites like our lime margarita, tiki rum Mai Tai, vodka mule, or mango margarita, or try them all. Please enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Again, having a great time here this morning. Talking with Brandon, talking with Finn. Lots of cool fishing to go over today. Today's going to be a great one.
Yeah, indeed. You want to get through, have a chance to win that Anza fillet knife? Talk to Brandon and Finn. 213-432-1090. Open right now. Just one line open. JP standing by to take your phone calls and ready to go. So let's go ahead and jump into those phones, Rick.
Well, phone, jam-packed phones, they certainly are. Every phone line full. We're going to start it off with our buddy Don. He's calling us from Woodland Hills this morning. Good morning, Don. Thanks for joining us here on Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, everybody. And hey, Finn, nice yellowtail, buddy. You beat my personal best.
Nice. Good one.
Hey, Brandon, I have two questions for you. Number one, could you describe, please, your white sea bass rigging, rod reel and the lead head you use? And when might one see opportunities for an open party lobster white sea bass trip in the fall?
Ha-ha.
Okay. Good morning. Rods and reels for sea bass, for the type of sea bass fishing that we're doing now, you want to be able to make a nice long cast like towards the kelp line or up towards the island or something. So we like an 8-foot rod, like a 8-foot medium action rod, and like a 16 or 20 size reel, like a 16 or 20, like Torium or Trinidad, with 50 or 65-pound braid. And then we just use a little piece of 50 or 60-pound Seaguar and a lead head, 3/4 ounce lead head usually.
Like what's a little piece?
Not a lot, like 4 feet.
Oh, okay.
A lot of those fish are real snug to the kelp. So, I mean, I've had bites this year where every fish you hook kind of goes through the kelp. So we use that kelp header style rig that we talked about before. So, yeah, just a little piece, like 4 feet, and that's definitely not a line-shy fish, so it doesn't matter. And on the fall sea bass lobster tip, I'll probably make that schedule in October. I haven't had really any fall sea bass fishing since we lost the kelp along the coast, so it's mostly been like straight lobster, and then we do the combo thing in February and March, which has worked out really well.
This year you did really well with that, right?
This year was great. It seems like the last few years, that last couple weeks of lobster season, you almost wish you had more time to fish sea bass because there's been some good fishing. That fish kind of washes into the island or shows up at some point in March, the first big schools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool.
With that kelp cutter sea bass thing, does the type of spectra make any kind of a difference? I mean, or does all spectra cut through just like anything else? You know, like, do you guys like using one because it works better, or anything that's made of braid is going to be just fine?
That's a great question. Solid seems to be a little bit rigider, a little bit tougher.
More abrasive.
Thank you. Yeah. So that kind of solid style of like your Power Pro or something like this versus like a real soft hollow seems to work. To work better for sure. Yeah.
Better than the soft hollow.
Yeah.
Something that's like a straight Power Pro, just regular.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And it's cheap. You know, I mean, relatively speaking, like that's right. That's the killer line you want.
Hey, thanks a lot for getting us started, Don. Appreciate that. We have a lot of text coming through, and here's another one on a rigging question, and this is from Jim in Oceanside. He says, great show. Want to talk to you about the difference between the setup for live versus fresh dead squid when fishing for sea bass. Very good question.
All right. What do you think, Finn? What's better, live or fresh dead squid?
Fresh dead.
Fresh dead.
Fresh dead's better than live.
We use a lot of dead squid and frozen. I'd say of the fish we caught this year, 80% of it's probably on good frozen bait.
80%.
Yeah, 80%. A lot of it.
On fresh dead
really
frozen.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the packaged stuff that you buy in the store.
No, stuff that we get ourselves or we get off one of our light boat buddies and kind of freeze it up. And whether you're using live or fresh dead, the rigging's still the same.
Exactly.
Still the same, yeah. Still pin a couple squid on a lead head. I like to have live squid because when people get on the boat, people love having live squid. But a lot of times we'll use like one live and one frozen on a hook. Uh-huh. We usually use two squids on a lead head.
Yeah. Do you chum?
I do chum a lot, especially if you're fishing kind of shallow water beaches and you want to bring the life to you. The problem is, again, seals.
Yeah.
And a lot of spots have a couple seals on them. So if you start throwing chum over, it kind of starts looking like SeaWorld in the back of your boat. So
not good.
I would like to be able to chum more. And if there's no seals around and the spot allows for it, I'll definitely throw some chum. But not always.
Yeah. Finn, do you like seals and sea lions?
No, not really.
Not good. Boy, attaboy.
That was the right answer, buddy. Yeah, you're welcome to stay for the rest of the show now. No problem. Hang out.
All right.
That's cool. With the frozen squid, do you guys do anything different when you're packaging your squid and you made squid for the night? Do you do anything different for the ones you plan on using as a hook bait? Does everything just get chucked into a Ziploc or do you have like a routine?
I actually listened to an old radio show with Finn just so he could kind of see like the cadence of it and how it is. And we talked about this when I was on last time, and what we do is I like to bag it up alive still, so I don't kill it and rinse the ink out of it. So we just get it when it's like still red and we freeze it kind of in its own ink. Yeah. That's how I like to do it. But you know, everyone does their thing different,
and then it's all natural.
It has a lot of color to it still.
Yeah,
so that's what we do. We put it in the bag still inking, and then heavy duty on the ice. A little hack is if you're on a skiff, you can put a little kosher salt or ice cream salt on top of your ice and it'll like pretty much freeze your bait for you. So yeah, that's how we do it, and we don't overfill the bags. We just kind of keep it light, little like layer job.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about potentially as much as 80% of your fish being caught on frozen, like spending the time to have good frozen bait clearly is a bit. You know, I mean, I would guess when you have the opportunity to get bait, you probably put as much focus as you can on fill in the freezer full of it.
Like. Absolutely, and you go through a lot of bait island fishing, the perch and bass and such. It's not like fishing the beach where. You know, if you had 50 squids, you're like, we're fine for the night.
Yeah,
especially
for a couple days.
That old school, that mud fishing that hasn't happened in a few years. Interesting note is right before Finn was born was when we had our last like good coastal squid nest fishing around here. So, how old are you, buddy?
Seven years.
Wow, for squid nest.
7 years
fishing.
This August.
It's been 7 years since a guy like me could catch one, where you just drive out to where it's at, and you put your anchor down, and you put a dropper loop down, and you just wait for the clicker to go off, and then you take a picture of the sea bass like you're a hero.
Yeah.
It's 7 years since since a guy like me got to do that.
God bless. That was the best.
That's the best thing ever.
So you talk about night versus day fishing. What percentage of your fish this year were nighttime, daytime, early morning, afternoon? What was the time period?
A great question. I'm going to say early afternoon wins for the best time to catch them.
Really?
No kidding.
Yeah. Fish in the dark. We kind of catch the least in that classic, like, in the gray period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Mark Wish time.
Yeah. Not to discredit, there's a lot of fish that get caught early in the morning or whatever, but I'd rather be fishing at, like, 4 a.m. or 4 in the afternoon for that fish.
4 a.m. or 4
in the Either in the dark or late in the afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So dark, definitely. You want to be ready.
The tricky thing with sea bass is in a 24-hour period, there could be just this like 15-minute window that they're biting on a certain spot. That's why they'll drive you crazy, and that's why it's so bizarre.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, if I could take one time period, I'd take the afternoon all day. Yeah.
All right. Yep.
One condition over another? Like, is current always king? Is watercolor always king? Current, is temperature always king? Like, what's...
Yeah, that's a great question. Words don't describe how important current is for that fish.
Okay.
And the interesting thing is there's, I'm going to say, like, maybe four spots at Catalina that you can get bit in uphill or downhill current. But otherwise, it's really spot dependent. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the east end of the island, you can catch them in both. But there's certain spots, if it's not like raging downhill or going uphill, you might as well just go somewhere else.
Right.
That's part of the finesse of it and figuring part of the aggravating part of it. And that's something, if you're a private boater, to wrap your head around. Like, even though you got them there the day prior,
right,
if the current's going the opposite direction and your lines aren't feeding into the structure, you've got to move and go somewhere else. So,
yeah. How many times have you had guys on your boat and say, well, we caught them here last year?
Pretty often.
Yeah.
Pretty often, or like, this is my spot.
This is my spot.
Yeah, it's mine, too, when it's working for you.
Yeah. It's not working today.
Yeah,
we got to go somewhere else. Yeah, well, okay, let's go ahead and jump back into it, Rick.
You got it, man. Well, we got a great text. This one was from Scott Nel Segundo. It says, good morning, guys. I've had a chance to fish with both Brandon and Rick. Both guys have really good fly line starting skills. Rick, clearly better. I added that part. Brandon, can you please discuss fishing the sardine when it's tough to get a bite?
Yeah, sure. I think the skills have diminished greatly for me just because I haven't done a ton of sardine fishing the last few years and haven't been sport boat fishing a lot. Like, when we went on the Thunderbird earlier in the week, I was like, wow, like, I'm really rusty at this. But fly line sardine fishing is always kind of about doing the small things, you know, so picking out a good bait and a nice long cast and how you kind of hook the bait based on conditions as well. I've always been a huge fan of that shoulder hooking method, which seems to be kind of like standard these days.
Totally.
But yeah, I also like to underhand cast so that your bait's real low to the water when you cast. It's kind of like akin to like diving off a diving board versus doing a belly flop. If you do this big giant overhand heaving cast, the bait hits the water, especially if it's kind of weak and scales go all over and it's kind of stunned, where if you just kind of waft it out underhand, it lands real gently and starts taking off. So those are kind of the things on that.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and jump in the phones, Rick.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Matt? Matt P. calling us from Ventura this morning. Good morning, Matt. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning. Just a question for Brandon. One is, or actually two questions. How do you, what is your favorite sea bass recipe and then to eat? And then two, when fishing a fluke, what is your recommended lead head?
Oh, okay. The fluke thing, that's the hot way to catch them up in the Channel Islands. I can't comment to that because I've never done it, for sea bass anyways. So sorry, I can't help you out on that one. And my favorite sea bass recipe, that fish is so flavorful and so tasty. I just keep it simple. Well, my favorite recipe is I just bring it into the lobster trap and have them make it.
Oh, yeah.
Three different ways for us. Yeah, blackened with like a lemon, like a caper sauce. And then they have that rosy sauce, but whatever. If I do it at home, what I usually do is I put a little bit of mayonnaise on it and whatever seasoning and just barbecue it. The mayonnaise, you know, has soybean oil, so it just keeps it kind of tender. Or the classic marinate it in Italian salad dressing seems to work good, too.
Yeah, pretty easy fish to cook as long as you don't overcook it.
Don't overcook it, yeah. And my little, like, scraps, if I trim off, like, pieces or end pieces or have anything left over, I'll make, like, fish kebabs, like, little skewers with onions and peppers and stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
Keep it super simple.
Great fish tacos, too.
Super good.
Yeah.
Keep it real simple with that.
With that in mind, I had a piece of fresh white sea bass from Point Loma Seafoods last week, and it was tough because I went in there, and there's black sea bass or white sea bass.
Ooh,
and it was like, that's a tough decision between those two. But I got to tell you, we selected white sea bass, and that is my favorite fish, for sure. Hands down, I love white sea bass. And the way Lolly prepared it was just a little white wine, olive oil, capers, sauteed on a pan and then finished it in the oven. Fantastic.
Yeah. Capers are just such a win.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
How big was the fillet of black sea bass? Did it look like it came from a real big fish?
No, smaller
medium
fish.
Oh, man.
Yeah. No, they're really good at Point Loma Seafoods.
I know that.
Getting
that
smaller fish, and that's like, I mean, you know, it's like the forbidden fruit for us, right?
Exactly.
But when it comes from Mexico, it's legal.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
You know, there's not much, but when they're, you know, I always knew that was the thing. John would always say, like, if we were ever at the market and we saw one that we thought was just like when you looked at them, you're like, man, I wish I would, because I want to eat that thing right there. They would get it. And like you say, it's pretty rare, but when you see it in there, like I'll usually buy a piece of that. I don't buy a ton of fish, but like I trust Point Loma Seafoods, and when I see a black sea bass in there, it's pretty hard for me not to like. Yeah, I'll get a dinner's worth.
Let's give me if they have it in the shelf there, it's good to buy.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, let's go and jump back into it. Right,
you got it. How about this time we talk to Armand? He's calling us from Seal Beach this morning. Morning, Armand. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to give praises to Wes. I got to fish with him this past February, and it's probably the best trip I've been on to be skunked. I learned so much on that trip, and I guess it wasn't quite skunked. You still catch a lot of, you know, bycatch species, you know, and catch the half moon, kelp bass, a kind of cabazon, as well as like a giant, like 6 foot sand shark. But my question for Brandon today is I was hoping you might describe how he fishes the lead head on the squid, because that was something I'd never really done before. And I think I missed one of those bite windows in the first part of the morning just trying to figure out kind of how to fish it.
Oh, yeah. Good morning. That's a good question. Leadhead and squid. The big thing with sea bass fishing, and it's a people think you just want to just, like, cast out and wait, and you can do that, like, with dropper loops, like Rick said, if your bait's up off the bottom. But if you're using a leadhead or a sliding sinker and you cast out and you just let your bait sit in the sand, you're not going to catch any sea bass because they're not going to, like, suck your bait off the bottom. So you got to keep that bait moving. That's the big thing. And it's kind of like some elements of largemouth bass fishing and kind of moving your plastic worm around. So, yeah, you just make a long cast with your squid and your lead head, and when you hit the bottom, just kind of lift your rod tip up to 11 o'clock and pump it around and wind up your slack and do it like that.
Well, Brandon Brandon Bono from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, world's greatest fisherman, went with Wes, right?
Right.
Over on bite sport fishing over in Catalina. He was telling me, he said it was such a subtle bite. He says he moving the bait,
right,
and you just like, but he's a really good freshwater bass fisherman.
Right.
So he said he really could feel the bites because they were so subtle because of his experience with freshwater bass fishing.
Yeah. It seems like this year the fishermen biting it really light too, and they're just kind of sitting right on the bottom, and it's just that kind of like a real slight, light bite. And the other thing, too, is a lot of times you'll get bit and you won't always know it because if the current's really strong, like when Brandon came out, it was just ripping uphill current, like a river of water shoving up the island. So when they bite it, they'll swim with their noses into the current, and you might not even feel much if you're not direct contact with your bait. You know, that's where the longer rod and the braid kind of helps you out as well.
Yeah.
His thought on that, too, having not done it, was he said that the sea bass bite was almost no different than what a blue perch bite was. And he said that they were in a spot that had so much life on them that when you cast your squid out, it was just constant tick, 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 tick.
Right.
And the sea bass bite felt exactly the same, but just, you know, when you're lifting and pumping the rod, he said one tick and you'd kind of lift to pump the rod again and you could feel you pulling the squid, and the next tip, it just felt a little more pressure. You know, not a ton, not like you would expect a 60-pound sea bass to be, but just there was a little more pressure there when you're pumping the rod, and then a wind down and swing, and next thing you know, the rod doubles over and there's line peeling off the reel.
Yeah.
You know, just hard to fathom from the little tick, 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 to boom, we're attached to a giant.
Yeah, for sure. Have you ever done the tarpon thing down in Key West where the guy's cutting the bait and you're drifting the cut bait down in the line there? It almost sounds like that.
Right.
Because the bites are so subtle. I remember going, I was down there with Dave Pfeiffer, and they're just catching them right and left. I'm not catching anything, you know, because I'm not feeling the bite.
Right.
Just not getting I didn't have the touch.
Right.
And they did. And is it kind of like that?
A lot like that, yeah. You can feel that perch bite. And then, how do I describe this? You feel the perch bites, but the current's so strong that it's like pulling your line back, not your bait so much. So you're really just, if you're not in touch with your bait and you don't have some squid left on your hook, you're just fishing a bare leadhead too.
Yeah.
So it can be tough.
Yeah.
It can be tough, but this is what makes you a better fisherman, too.
Totally it is. And I just want to say, too, like, I thought that was so cool. That's probably got to be about the best compliment a guy can give, what Armand said the first time. Like, had the best time getting skunked on a trip. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's trophy hunting, what you do, for sure. You guys are clearly the most successful at it, but it's still trophy hunting. Not every trip connects. And hearing that somebody had a great time fishing with Wes, and I'm sure learned a ton, like, that's got to feel good. What a great compliment to you.
Yeah, absolutely. You hate it when you miss, but it's just going to happen a lot with sea bass. And kind of, like I said before, everything we do, like, we do swordfish charters in California now.
Yeah.
You're not going to catch them every single time. it's unfortunate when you miss, but it's, if you put in a couple days and try and it's really something that you want to do, it's going to come together eventually.
Time on the water.
Lots of time on the water.
And Armin's take was so perfect, too. Like, yeah, I missed on sea bass, but had a rad day, learned a bunch, caught a bunch of bass, probably spent a cool day at an awesome island in good condition. Like, that's a win.
Totally.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. Hey, let's head down south, down to John Ireland, Rancho Leonero. Buenos dias, John.
Good morning, Pete. Hi, Rick. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, John?
Hey, I know a lot of our listeners are wanting to know what's going on there because we're just a couple of weeks away from our Let's Talk Hookup Tournament at Rancho Leonero.
I'm aware of it, buddy. Yeah, it's actually an improved week. You know, it's been slow, honestly, for the last 3 or 4 weeks. This week it's improved markedly. 76 to 80 degrees water, which really helps. It's clean, light winds. You know, we're enjoying cool mornings. It's nice spring weather, but it's improved fishing. You know, the striped marlin, of course, have been around, and the bite has actually picked up a lot. They're pretty close. They're off of La Rivera down to the lighthouse, and Bruce Borgrave had his tournament this week, and a couple of the boats had multiple releases. There's a lot of striped marlin around. People want that, and they love the ballyhoo. You know, if they have the choice between the ballyhoo and plastic, they're going to take the ballyhoo literally every time. The good news is mixed with them, they picked up not quite a few. Four or five real nice Dorado to 40 pound, all bulls, all solitary fish, and all in the same areas as striped marlin, taking the ballyhoo as well. But that's a good sign. So there's some of those around because there had been for the last 3 weeks, as I mentioned. Tuna, some of the boats ventured outside and ran into pods of porpoises holding tuna. Not real big tuna, you know, football-sized guys, but abundant, and that's a good sign because the tuna now are starting to come back in. Inside, gosh, you know, lots of pompano. Lots of pompano to 10 pounds, so they're just bunches of pompano, and catching those with sardine and bouncing iron off the bottom, but sardine is by far the best bait. And they're nice-sized fish, really good to eat. We've had lots of those in the dining room for the last couple of weeks. And they're catching quite a few amberjack as well. You know, I'd say at least one per boat if they're bottom fishing, and they're nice fish, 20 to 40-pound fish, which is good-sized amberjack and really as consistent an amberjack bite as I can recall. Lots of cargo and grouper and sierra as well. And you know, if people want to tug on fish, God, we got lots of Jack Gravel out there. When you're trolling around, you pick up these guys to 40 pounds, and they're really fighters, a lot of fun. And mix with some skipjack, too. Lots of skippies out there as well. So it's improving, guys. We're optimistic.
That's fun times, John. And you know what? You can say whatever you want, but to go right out front and have a day, especially with like casting style gear and get on those Jack Revelle, they will pull you will pull your arms off before those things get tired or rip it on you. What a fun way to go out and have some casting, yanking and cranking good times.
I'm looking forward to doing that for sure. Yeah, and well, you have a great time. Dave from Statewide Stripes gave us $1,000 cash for trophy and such. We're going to have some Fisherman's Landing Tackle gift certificates and a lot of great stuff, trip to the ranch and a lot more for our people. And a lot of good people too. We're really looking forward to it. Still time. I think there's a room left, right?
I think we just have one room left. Somebody wants it, they should grab it. Yeah, it's always a great trip and good company. And the fishing is improving. I expect it to be pretty good, Pete. Another couple of weeks will be.
Looking forward to it, John. If somebody wants to get in on a summertime fun at Rancho Leonero, how do we do it?
Thanks, Pete. 800-646-2252 or RanchoLeonero.com.
All right.
Awesome, John. A great report, as always. Sure appreciate that. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
You too. Take it easy, Brandon.
All right. Thanks, John. Take care.
Right. When we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. If you want to get your chance to get through, it's 213-432-1090. We got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
This is Pete, and I hear it all the time. That Jim and Mary at Poway Valley Collision are amazing. I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, mentioned Let's Talk Hookup, and they gave us VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. At some point, your car will need a body repair, and I'm confident in saying it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars on your next car or truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. When you take your car or truck to Poway Valley Collision, the job and experience will be top-notch. Get it fixed right at Poway Valley Collision. 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check PowayValleyCollision.com.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
You know, the ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach. We have dive trips that we run to Pomo in a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, you know. It's intimate. It's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name. Well, truly at Rancho Leonero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guest names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of beachfront, a mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Leonero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAHA. And RanchoLeonero.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Leonero.
It's time for the PowerPro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with PowerPro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard PowerPro, so you get more line on that small reel. PowerPro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new PowerPro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
This is Art Taylor from Searcher Sport Fishing. Celia and I and the rest of Team Searcher would like to thank all of our loyal customers for their support. Searcher has air-conditioned cabins, great food, an RSW system to preserve your catch, and a fantastic crew. If you're looking for an affordable fishing adventure, a chance to catch a fish of a lifetime, our 2022 schedule is available now. Book your reservation online at searchersportfishing.com or call Celia or Aaron at 619-226-2403.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the Mightier 1090. We're going through the record book right now and comparing Finn's big 32-pound yellow to a junior world record right
Bob,
now.
Bob Blum would know the answer.
Bob Blum would know the answer. Yeah. Well, we know the answer now, too. The book's right here.
Yeah, the book's right there. Yeah,
Finn's on it. Next fish.
Yeah, well, let's find out what's biting.
You got it, man. It's time for the Catch Report out there. Today, the Catch Report sponsored in part by... Hey, you want to talk about something that's important to talk about right now? It's the lowest prices on gasoline and the lowest price for your gas. Or for your car or truck, and most importantly for your trailer boat, it's Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. Get California fishing licenses 24 hours a day. Get discount certificates when you're buying your Everingham Brothers bait certificates. You can buy beer, soda, snacks, and 100 pounds of free ice with a minimum of a 35-gallon purchase. It's a no-brainer. Summit Gasoline. Go say hi to the manager, Martha, and the friendly staff. There's so much more than just the lowest prices. It's a very easy in-and-out pull-through with your boat and trailer at Summit Gasoline at the Sports Arena.
Yeah, right between the San Diego launch ramp and the Mission Bay Dana Landing launch ramp, right there. Summit Gasoline, great people, and they really take good care of fishermen. They love fishermen over there. Yeah, it's like they just really do.
No doubt about it. Well, before we grab our catch report, let's grab a full... Oh, there we go. We got Captain Brian Woolley from Dana Wars Sport Fishing on the line. Good morning, Woolley.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you this morning?
We're doing great. Good morning.
Good. Calling you from the backside of Kilmeny here on the Fury this morning. We're out here catching some yellowtail. We have a sea bass on the boat here, just kind of drifting around right now, trying to Oh, Marcus out here catch a couple fish. So
right on, Wooly.
Sign here. Yeah, so things are good here over at the island. You know, Marcus has been really busy. He's had some good shots of fish all week over here, both on the live squid, dropper loop type setups here. He's been catching some fish for him, as well as some stuff on the yo-yo jigs. Doing great. The yellows that we have on the boat here today is just like 25 to 30 pound fish. Whew. And the sea bass is kind of ranged in size. The one we have on the deck right now is about 18, 20 pounds, a little bit on the smaller side. But they've had some good shots of this stuff over here this week. He's been able to get over here. Along the beach for us, we have some anchovy for bait. So you can imagine that bass fishing has been really good on our half day type deal there. Up in the kelp, some good shots. A couple guys, one of our guys on the San Mateo, a little charter boat there, had a couple nice coastal sea bass on that anchovy earlier in our week. He was backed up there in one of those kelp spots and, you know, went 2 for 7 on that bigger great fish. That stuff was like 30 to 40 pound stuff. So it was good to see some of that kind of doing its thing along the beach. But again, that bass fishing for us has been good. Been, you know, getting the boat out and I've been staying busy, definitely doing that kind of stuff. So eager to see what our week has. You know, our water temps along that coast has been like 62 to 64 this week. Just funky stuff. We're just waiting for it to kind of straighten itself out and get going. And so that's kind of been it for us. So things are clicking. If you guys want to hop on a trip, you know, now's a good time to get on the overnight boat. I know Marcus has trips on the book through the week. You can always call the landing office and get the details on all that stuff. And, of course, our regular half-day, three-quarter-day stuff on the docket as well. So our number here, 949-496-5794. Or obviously you can check us on the web, tucanawharf.com, or link us there right through the West Hawkeye page and make those reservations from there.
Man, what a great report, Wooly, live from the backside of San Clemente Island with yellows and sea bass on the deck and the full rundown at Dana. What a great report, buddy. That's awesome.
How's the weather back there, Wooly?
There's a little, like, south, little west wind here and some current kind of racing up the island right now. It's a little funky, a little washy, but, you know, not too bad. We haven't gotten the boot out of here. Hopefully we don't today, but, you know, guys working around. It's all been on the squid today, so that's been the big deal. It's all on the live squid.
Nice.
Great report, man. Well, awesome job, Wooly. We sure appreciate that. Keep getting them. Nice fishing today, and we'll look forward to another great one next week.
Cool. Thanks for the time, guys. We'll catch you later. See ya.
See you, Wooly.
Thanks, Wooly. That sounds good. I have a great text here while we're waiting for Gundy Gunderson, our surf guru extraordinaire there. It's from Sam, and he says, fishing bluefin on the kite, do you fish live or artificial flying fish more? Do you use any other baits on the kite? And what rod combo do you use most often? A lot of questions on the kite.
Yeah, bluefin on the kite. Finn is actually going to work with me this summer.
Wow.
And his brother, and we're going to do a lot of bluefin kite fishing, right?
Sweet. That'll be fun.
That will be fun.
Yeah.
We use the dead flyer mostly on the kite. I've used the live one, but the cool thing if you have live flyers is you can fly line those things, or they fish really good under a balloon. With the kite and the dead one, I think the dead one gives you an advantage because you can kind of move the boat around and make it fly and skip and drop it into spots and things like that. So I'm good with the dead one under the kite. There's a lot of questions to the question.
What about the California flyer? Like
that thing's great.
Yeah, you catch fish on that?
It works great. And the great thing about that is if you put it in a spot and they knock it all over the place, it's not like a dead one where it gets ripped up and you got to wind in and there's it's a lot of time here. So to put it out, put it back in, and do the whole thing. So yeah, that's a proven great bait. Works great.
Yeah, and then rod combo, what do you use?
Rod combo for the kite. The big thing is I don't like to use braid heavier than 130 just because of the wind and the drag and such. There's days you can use it, and it's nice to get bit on that 200 pound. But we use like 130, and in terms of rods and reels combos, you just line capacity is huge. So any good quality 50, you know, Talica 50 is a great reel for that.
Bent butt, straight butt?
We use a straight butt because we do a lot of rail fishing and don't fish it in the rod holder too much. We also use straight butt because we like to try to get two or three going at a time, and to do that with bent butt's tough. Remember we did on your boat that one day? So straight butt's good for us. We use bent butt for swordfish. Yeah. That's the only thing I use bent butt for. There's a time and a place for it, and a lot of people use it for bluefin, but just for our charter program, straight butt it. But, yeah, like a 770 double XH type rod and a 50 wide size reel, 70 size reel works great.
Yeah. Brandon came fishing with me on field research, and Wheeler was there, Mark Wheeler was on the boat and stuff, and so we hooked one. It was nice, like 150 or something like that, and we got one on. He goes, okay, put another one out. I was like, what are you kidding? We got this one on. He's like, no, put another one out. Get a bid on that one. Then he says, put another one out. I was like, wait a minute, we got two big ones going here. Wait a minute.
That's the fun part.
Yeah, it was like you taught me, like, okay, this can happen. We can do this.
I'm pretty aggressive on getting them out because your window can be so short.
Oh,
that could be your only school of the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm always, like, the opportunity that's at hand, I'm always thinking this could be it.
They're on you and they're biting.
Right.
And how often does that happen? I mean, how often does that happen? You could log all of your hours for the year together, and you know, you talk about the time when a school is on you and they're biting. It's such a small fraction that you gotta insert you know, whatever analogy you have for it, make hay while the sunshine, like whatever, like you gotta get them as fast as you can.
Yeah, but that's
pretty cool.
A good education, but it was like, wait a minute, man,
right.
I gotta concentrate on this one.
Right,
here.
Right.
It's a big fish,
and it's hard to move around. The bent butt's made to just stay in the rod.
Right.
Right. We're not taking this thing out, you know, unless something drastic happens.
So if you're fishing like you do, bent butt is not really your friend. It's more so just in a harness or whatever on the rail or whatever.
Yep, but swordfish all day.
All day.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, in the appropriate scenario, the bent butt can give you some fantastic leverage and easier rod holding and better rod angle. But then you take that out of the rod holder and start trying to go around under and over rods and, you know, getting around your buddy who's on the bow, and I don't have good footing already, and I'm trying to get over the top of this, you know, this fish bag that's got fish in it. All of a sudden it becomes a chore.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Definitely. It has its place.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Well, hey, speaking of their place, our place is at the beach, and we're going to continue with our surf fishing report with the guru. Gundy Gunderson's on the line. What's up, Gundy?
Hey, what's up, boys?
Hey, Gundy. Hey,
morning.
You know, things are a little bit different on the beach. You know, it cooled off, but, you know, we didn't have that sun after the rollover, so we dipped a little water temp. We didn't get that red tide that you can often get. So conditions actually were pretty good. And interestingly enough, on the southern front, the barred perch bite was really good. You know, it's been really lackluster, San Diego County, Orange County, all the way up through L.A. County. And now it looks like with the cooler water, the perch want to get with it. So let's get going with the big winds. Like I said last week, got a dip in the water temp. Despite the cooler water, the fishing was good. Like I said, the barred perch bite, hook, line, sinker reported good barred perch action, lots of limits, some quality fish to 2 pounds. I think 2 pound, 10 ounce was the biggest I heard of, but that's very good. We haven't seen those real quality fish, still seeing, ripe fish. So the spawn is still going. Everything's working. Lugworms, bloodworms, mussel, grubs, gulp, sand crabs starting to show that kind of probably is going to lag a little with the cooler water temps. Wiley's reported good perch fishing. Their best action there is up off Magoo, fish to a pound and a half, mussel, lugworms working for those guys. Catch and release, 200-pound thresher shark off the Malibu Pier. The guys are making fresh mackerel and fishing them off the pier there, dragging them onto the beach. Just Fishing reported good perch action off Hermosa, Manhattan beaches. The perch bite really, really picked up with that cooler water. A 2 pound, 2 ounce Corbina was also checked into the shop, taking on a sand crab. Big Fish reported good halibut action all in and around L.A. Harbor there. The Grunion ran, I guess, real strong there, Shoreline Drive. There's fish being caught there. White cherry berry flash minnows are one of the better baits. They like to fish those zoom flukes there, too, either on a dart head or drop shot. And then I think the big fish, 30-inch fish, taken at the Bolsa Chica Inlet on a live smelt. A 34-inch fish was taken off river jetties, and that's been a good area there. The guys are making smelt in the slough. And then Hogan's reported very good fishing on leopard sharks. Lots of 20, 25, 30-pound fish. Probably those big hens getting in the surf line doing their spawning thing in the spring. Pacific Coast reported more good halibut action. The lagoons, bays, and harbors keep producing with clean water on the beach and another grunion run in the bag. The beach bite really perked up. So Ponto was a good spot in particular. Checking in with their derby. They got a 13-pound, 8-ounce fish leading the derby here. But, Pete, they're telling me a lot of lost fish, including some 20-pound class fish. And the guys are losing them at the landing, either landing them on the jetty, off the beach, or, you know, so I can give you a few hints. You know, it's not a bad idea to have a hand gaff, you know, a little small hand gaff for just such an occasion. You look like a dork carrying a net down, but a net is solid, and a net, if you're in a certain spot, you're fishing a jetty, a little corner off a jetty or something where you're not going to be moving around a lot, take the net. It's going to help you out. The other thing is kind of think about where you're going to land the fish before you even make the cast. So sometimes from where you're standing, you might not be able to land that fish. So kind of think that through. And the last one is use the right line class. You know, if you're fishing from the shore or from a jetty, you can't really move around too much. So you have to fish a heavier line class. So stay away from the 10 and 12 pound. You know, I like using 14, 15, 17 pound test, something like that. If I'm fishing a big bait, like maybe a live sardine or something, then I might go up to 20 pound, but stay within those better ranges. And, you know, sometimes you lose the fish before you even hook it, and that's kind of the case with some of these big halibut.
Yeah, man, good stuff.
Good. Woo. Great. Awesome. Well, a great report as always, and some really, really solid halibut info. Gundy, appreciate it as always, buddy. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
All right, good show, guys. Love listening.
Thanks, buddy. That was a piece of gold there for sure. Hey, I want to remind you, it's time to hit the beach. For all your surf fishing needs, check out surffishtackle.com. Also, CCA California and Bill Varney are teaming up again this summer for several of those on-the-beach fishing clinics. You'll find all the details at fishthesurf.com. When we come back, we have a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. A lot more with Brandon and Finn. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
One of the dream trips for most anglers is Alaska. There are so many lodges. How do you make a choice? It's easy. Choose the one most Let's Talk Hookup listeners return to time after time. Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, and the finest charter captains in Sitka. All for the ultimate value. One visit and you will understand why nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. Sitka is famous for some of the best runs of salmon in Alaska. And if giant Alaskan halibut is your target, the expert captains at Kingfisher Charters know the hot spots and can put you on a fish of a lifetime. Plenty of rockfish and huge ling cod are there too. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except tips. It is truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
Shimano has done it again. An amazing lever drag two-speed reel at an affordable price. It's Speedmaster 2. The extremely durable, high-performance Speedmaster 2 with high maximum drag power and a smooth, ultra-wide range of drag adjustability is an absolute fish-fighting machine. Its rigid Hagani body prevents misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest loads. Plus, a spare drag cam is included for optimal use with monofilament lines. The Speedmaster is now available in four models, 12, 16, 20, and 25. This is the perfect reel for the angler looking for a powerful, lightweight, smooth casting reel for tuna or other powerful saltwater game fish at a more affordable price. Nothing in its class can match the Shimano Speedmaster 2, built to provide high-end performance and dependability in a compact, lightweight frame. Get the Shimano Speedmaster 2 lever drag reel at your local Shimano dealer. Check Shimano.com for all the details.
The future comes standard at your San Diego County Ford dealers, so swing on by and check out the legendary Ford F-150, the smart and capable Ford Ranger, and the all-new Ford Bronco Sport. New inventory is arriving daily, and your San Diego County Ford dealer is here to help you build and order the truck or SUV of your dreams. Want to make sure you get the right truck to tow your boat? They'll help you order the right configuration to meet your needs.
needs.
Want to make sure you get the right SUV to haul your gear on your next adventure? They've got you covered there, too. Escape, Edge, Bronco Sport, Explorer, and Expedition. They've got the SUV that's perfect for you. If it isn't on the lot, they'll order it and get you exactly what you need. They want your trade, so swing by your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer or visit buyfordnow.com to see all the great deals. They'll be glad to hook you up.
This is Captain Dwayne Diego, Pinnacle Sport Fishing. Visual signs are one of our most important aspects to our charter fishing business. It's the reason myself and all of our crew all wear Costa sunglasses. With advanced polarization technology, Costa is designed to help cut through the sun's glare while providing enhanced color and comfort to help you see more fish. Costa was founded over 35 years ago by a group of fishermen wanting high-performance lenses for every fishing application. Costa has a West Coast-style frame and lens for your pursuit. Check them out at CostaSunglasses.com.
Hayden Lane here from Fast Lane Kayaking, and I gotta tell you about all the rad new stuff we have in the shop. Like the fully updated new line of Hobie inflatable kayaks, the iTrek series. Hobie took the best-selling i11S and made it even better. Then added new models like it, like the new iTrek 9 that weighs just 37 pounds, fully rigged, packs into a small bag with wheels, and fits just about anywhere. And on the water, this thing performs. Featuring a super wide and flat hull shape that is stable and an elevated beach chair style seat that is comfortable. Or the all new Hobie Mirage Lynx. Inspired by the shape of the inflatable kayaks, Hobie made a durable and ultralight hardtop model. It's the missing link. It looks like a hybrid of a stand up paddleboard and a kayak. And the best part, at just 45 pounds, the hull weighs about half as much as similar sized kayaks. And it's stackable. Pile them up on your roof rack or your truck bed. You gotta see this thing. Stop by the shop right on the water in Dana Landing Marina in Mission Bay. Or check us out online at FastLaneKayaking.com.